Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
All right, the noise around J.J. McCarthy now before this draft is getting a little out of control. Maggie Gray, Andrew Parloff, across the country on the Infinity Sports Network. Parloff, we're going crazy here. Now the odds are spiking. Things are moving in all different directions. That J.J. McCarthy could go anywhere, 3, 4, 5. I mean, we're talking about a team trading.
Two?
Get out of here with
He's
two.
He's got decent odds to go number two.
Oh,
He's
my
at
goodness.
Plus 800 to go number two.
8-1. This is the crazy part about it. Let's talk about this in real life.
Yeah.
In real life terms here. J.J. McCarthy is a winner. We know that. Michigan was a winning program where he got to one college football playoff semifinal and then won it all last year.
He won in high school, too. Don't forget that.
And was a five-star. I get it.
He won, like, the national title. Like, he's won it. I saw the thing. He's won it 8th grade, 9th grade, 10th grade, 11th grade, 12th grade. Dude wins at every level, Maggie.
Yes.
Every level.
I feel like I could probably find a lot of professional athletes who won at every level because, for the most part, you are better than everyone around you. So you generally win at a
Did
lot of
different levels. Did you win anything at 8th grade? J.J. McCarthy was killing it at 8th grade.
Good for him. So J.J. now, this is getting a little crazy, though, to me. And I'm not saying that he's not, like, interesting as a quarterback prospect. Right. I'm not saying I'm not wishing any bad things on him. I'm totally intrigued by what his professional career could hold. But when you're talking about getting up to 3, 4, 5, you're talking about sacrificing some major draft compensation to go and get this player. Mm-hmm. And I get that quarterback is different than the other positions. But let's be honest, you know, we had Dane Brugler, who was on from The Athletic. He does this whole big thing, the beast, you know, this big draft, pre-draft, you know, scouting report. And J.J. McCarthy's grade is borderline first-round pick and second-round pick. Mm-hmm. That's what the grade out by most scouts is, borderline first-round pick, second-round pick. So now you're telling me that you're going to be trading multiple first-round picks or future first-round picks for J.J. McCarthy. This is where the draft loses me. I mean, I'm excited about it, but this is where it gets really crazy. What team is really going to mortgage the future to trade up for a guy whose offense in college did not revolve around him in any way?
I have no idea because I would bet you anything there are at least 10 teams who have him with a real first-round grade. And here's the thing. It's a matter of the market. If you want this guy, say you're Denver, who sits at number 12. Say you're the Raiders, who sit at 13. Say you're the Vikings, who sit at 11 and 23. What's the reality? I know he's not worth the number 4 pick. He's
right.
Not, but how else are you going to get him? And here's another question. What are you getting him for? You could get a receiver anywhere. You could get a left tackle later in the draft. You have to trade up and do something stupid at quarterback. This is the get silly position because you have no choice. If you want this guy, you can't sit there, and this could happen. He could go 11 to the Vikings, but if you're the Vikings, hey, you know, you got yourself all convinced, let's do J.J. McCarthy. You can't wait till 11 because anybody could jump you at any time. I think back to Patrick Mahomes, who went number 10 to the Chiefs.
Yep.
The Saints thought they were getting him at 11. Sean Payton sitting there thinking, oh my God, I'm getting the successor to Drew Brees. This is amazing. This is going to work out great. Then boom, Andy Reid jumps him. You can't afford to get jumped at quarterback, so you have to, and I will say, get stupid. Go up to four. He might not be worth the number four pick or graded as a number four pick, but that has really nothing to do with it because it's a market for quarterbacks.
I get it, but think of the word you just used. Get stupid,
yeah.
Silly. And,
yeah.
And this is for every Patrick Mahomes you traded up to get. I could give you a guy who definitely went way too high because a team got nervous about this and was worried a team was going to jump them, and I'll give you Daniel Jones with the New York Giants. I mean, and that he was not worth the six overall pick, and a team was desperate and they took him at six because they thought that Washington was going to jump up or whoever, and right. They get burned by it. And so,
but in that case, they had the 6 and 17 pick that year. What was it? And I was actually like, what's the difference? Why not just take him at six? You're going to get the player you want at 17 anyway. So if it's if you're deciding between two players, say you're Minnesota, what difference does a wide receiver make? They already have wide receivers. So what difference? Take the quarterback here and get the other guys later, because quarterback is so premium, right, Maggie. Right. You know that.
I do, but I just don't think that J.J. McCarthy is going to be worth all of this, and that's where this is where you and I might differ on it. I do not think that J.J. McCarthy is going to be a star in the NFL. I think that he was a star in college. I think that he's a really well-known player. I think, again, we're going to be interested in his career because when you have that big college career, I think people always kind of follow you. Michigan's a huge program. Mm-hmm. Jim Harbaugh, you know, there's all these connections. But I don't think that he's going to come in and he's all of a sudden going to light the league on fire. And I don't think in 5 years he's lighting the league on fire. And I just don't think that he's one of those guys. Now, I'm a little lower on this draft class than you are, yeah, kind of as a whole. But for him specifically, like, we're talking about Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels. I can even squint and see it with Drake May. I see it with Drake May. For JJ, I get that, you know, money downs, you know, third downs, he was good and stepped up in big spots. In flashes.
But he never had any bad flashes. He's just unknown. We just have no idea what he's going to be like in a passing offense.
Yeah, and that reminds me a little of Trey Lance. I mean, yeah, he has more body of work.
He's on
obviously.
The unknown side. I totally understand what you're saying. But here's the thing. It all depends on the spot. Like, you say he's not going to be a star. If he goes to Minnesota, he'll probably be second in odds to be Heisman. Rookie of the Year. Because that is, I mean, he could be, he's immediately, you know, he's competent. He's got Justin Jefferson, assuming Justin Jefferson is still there. He's got a good offensive line, and he's got a Kevin O'Connell coach. If he goes to the right spot, he's going to have a really good rookie year. And I'm not sure how you define star, but he is going to be like a legit player. Honestly, even a guy like Zach Wilson could go into that spot and succeed.
This
is a great spot. I'm telling you right now, Minnesota is set up for success. You got kind of some flawed defenses on the schedule. He would be really good there.
Okay.
Well, I don't know about the word star. Is he going to be as good as Caleb Williams? No, of course not. Because Caleb Williams is a surefire number one, quote unquote, generational talent.
Sure.
But J.J. McCarthy's going to hit if he goes to the right place. I'm pretty sure of it.
Okay. So that's the question today. I mean, I think a star, you kind of know when you see it, right?
No, not with the NFL draft.
No, really, if a guy's a star in the league, don't you? You know it when you see it. Like,
I think he's going to be Kirk Cousins.
A star.
Yeah, star who everyone hates.
Oh, come on.
I mean, he's the most probably disliked quarterback in the league. But yeah, Dak Prescott's a star, but you criticize Dak Prescott all the time.
I do.
He could be Kirk Cousins in this Minnesota situation.
Okay. So, I mean, Kirk Cousins is, you know, a multi-time Pro Bowler. I think Kirk Cousins is someone who's been one of the highest paid quarterbacks in the league, has played his career perfectly. But again, Kirk Cousins is a little bit, you know, Kirk Cousins came into the league and RG3 was the star.
Right, right.
You know,
that's what I'm saying. Like, I think
this was a slow burn. J.J. McCarthy, if you go four overall or three, mm-hmm, two, I'm throwing out, the expectations, you know, are totally different. You know, a feel-good story is Kirk Cousins in the fourth round, right?
Right.
Who ends up becoming a starter for multiple years and makes $400 million. If you're fourth overall and a team trades up multiple first-round picks to get you, you're no longer a feel-good story.
Yeah.
You're an expectation. And that might be that's unfair. These players, you're not trading up for yourself. But that's how we start to judge these guys. Because, Zach Wilson could have failed in anonymity, you know, and been a six-round pick and never made a roster. We would have said, hey, look at that guy hung around in the league for a long time. If you are a fourth-round pick and the team is jumping other teams to come get you, there's an expectation that you're going to pay off, and you're going to pay off in a big way.
No, see, I don't think that's the case here. I think Caleb Williams is being compared to Patrick Mahomes.
Sure.
Jaden Daniels is very clearly being compared to Lamar Jackson, the two-time MVP. Drake May is very clearly being compared to Josh Allen,
yep,
Justin Herbert. I think NFL fans and the team that gets him is like, oh, we got Kirk Cousins. I think they know that at number four. And the only this four is going to be the most deceiving number four ever. They're trading for a good quarterback, not a great. Nobody expects J.J. McCarthy to be Patrick Mahomes. That would sound weird. I think like the comps you get for J.J. McCarthy are Andy Dalton, Kirk Cousins, and maybe a high, maybe if things work out well, Drew Brees. And I'm sorry, I know this sounds stupid, but you would take that at four in this year's draft because you need a quarterback.
Okay, but again, yeah, you're desperate. You need a quarterback, but if you're...
You don't need him to be, say you're Minnesota, you do not need him to be what C.J. Stroud was to Texas last year. You just need him to be competent and good, and I think that's what you're drafting at number four. And that's a... Would you take Andy Dalton to run your team in the top 10? Maybe you get to the playoffs. That's something. Okay. I mean, you might not have the high-end Super Bowl, but I think you're drafting J.J. McCarthy for his basement, not his ceiling.
Okay, so let's take the Vikings. Yeah. We're talking about J.J. McCarthy and whether he's going to be a star in the NFL, and I think this has gotten a little out of control here with the amount of hype around McCarthy because let's not get nuts about multiple first-round picks being traded so that a team could go up and get J.J. McCarthy. Yeah. He just doesn't have the body of work. He has the winning. I get that. But, like, individually, he doesn't have the body of work. So, here's what Kevin O'Connell had said this the other day. He was doing a podcast. It's it wasn't even a football podcast. It was like something else.
He was at a church. It was one of my favorite interviews ever because the guy who asked him a question had an amazing question.
What was that?
He basically said, all right, if you have to choose between the arm strength of Drake May or the footwork of J.J. McCarthy, which you choose? And O'Connell was like, dove right into the X's.
Yeah, that's a great question.
Yeah.
Maybe that person should start a sports podcast.
That person who was in the crowd was like, J.J. McCarthy will give you competent footwork. And Kevin O'Connell responded to that. Yeah, like, that's what you're getting. You're getting competent footwork, Maggie.
I love
the heat.
It all starts with the footwork.
Feel the lightning.
It's the bottom half.
Here he comes, Mr. Competent Footwork, J.J. McCarthy.
That actually makes me like him more. But the one thing that also O'Connell said, excuse me, was I've been a quarterback killer. And what he meant by that was the Vikings have actually presented options for quarterback and he's turned them down is kind of how he made this sound. I'm very particular. I'm very picky. It's not I can take any person and I can turn them into, you know, the next great thing.
Right.
He's not promising that. He's saying I've been super picky about who I want. Now, like, you're facing your NFL coaching mortality if you're going into the season with Sam Darnold. He's got to know that. So, yeah, I'd really want a quarterback too. But if he really has been this picky and choosy, if there's been other guys that he may have passed on because he didn't see the exact fit or what have you, then now all of a sudden with J.J. McCarthy, you're throwing total caution to the wind?
I think it's
about first-round picks, just handing them out like Oprah's giving cars?
I think so. Because he...
That's desperate.
The way I read Kevin O'Connell is he is looking for very specifically guys to run his offense. He doesn't want Jaden Daniels, who's incredibly athletic, who's going to bail the pocket. He wants Kirk Cousins. You remember we had Diana Rossini, now The Athletic, told us that there's a cult of Kirk Cousins out in the
Kirk
league?
Kirk Mob.
The Kirk Mob. And who is the president of the Kirk Mob? Kevin O'Connell and Sean McVay and Kyle Shanahan. These guys love a dude who's going to run their offense. That's what they want. And that's J.J. McCarthy. He lacks the big arm. He lacks the athleticism. But, man, will he do what the coach says. Because he's
you need to trade multiple first-round picks for that?
Yeah, I think you will. I know it sounds crazy. I really think you will. I think that Kevin O'Connell is confident in his offense. He's like, if I have a guy who just runs what I want with these receivers, we can be a really good team, and we can automatically be good. I know it sounds crazy that you're trading up for that set of traits, but that's what you want. And that guy at the church who's like, well, J.J. McCarthy gives you really solid footwork. Are you kidding me? Kevin O'Connell's like, you should have seen Kevin O'Connell's face.
He's like, now I'm thinking dirty thoughts in church.
He got excited. He's part of the Kirk mob. I think it's insane. I'm basically telling you right now, J.J. McCarthy is not a top five talent who I think will and should go in the top five.
You want to know who? All right. I mean, I'd show bet you, but we've got enough show bets around here. You and EJ have got your show bet going on. We'll go through all of that stuff about what's going on with the first round of the draft.
You're more of a common sense where you're like, he's just not a top five guy.
I'm sorry. I don't see it. Again, you're asking for Brock Purdy, and Brock is Brock is awesome for what Brock does. Brock was Mr. Irrelevant. If Brock had been taken fourth overall, I mean, wouldn't the expectation have been much higher from him? He's not getting the learning curve, grace periods, any of that stuff. He's coming in, and it's not like, oh, let's talk about the offense with Christian McCaffrey and Debo and Brandon Ayuk and your Trent Williams and all that. We're talking about what can you do for me today? It's just all very different.
Yeah, but if they could redraft that Brock Purdy draft, I think it was 2021, right? Was he Mr. Irrelevant in 2021?
No, later.
Oh, no, it was 2022?
Yeah.
If they could redo that draft, would he still be Mr. Irrelevant? No, he'd be a first-rounder. Well, he'd be J.J. McCarthy.
I don't know if he'd be a first-rounder that people are trading up multiple picks for because, again, we talked about this a lot with Brock.
Yeah.
Would he be this good on another team?
That's a great question, but I think that they're looking at system fit and J.J. McCarthy.
Yep.
You know, we're throwing out the sort of middle-of-the-road terms. I think J.J. McCarthy is exactly what these teams want. The other by the way, and you say we're talking about Minnesota. You could say the same exact thing about Denver.
Yeah.
Sean Payton is very much, he's a genius. He wants a quarterback to run his system. And it might be the wrong philosophy, but I think J.J. McCarthy is what coaches want. Coaches want coachable players who will do exactly what they want. They don't really want a guy who's going to bail from the pocket unless he's so incredibly dazzling like Jaden Daniels. They don't want a guy who has a gigantic arm but can't be accurate underneath. So I think J.J. McCarthy is a modern quarterback. I think he's the face of what teams want now.
855-212-4227. J.J. McCarthy is the topic. Question for you, is he going to be a star in the NFL? 855-212-4227. We say good morning to the weirdos and the coffee drinkers in the chat. YouTube.com/InfinitySportsNet. Twitch.tv/InfinitySportsNetwork. I was listening to the Odyssey app yesterday. That thing is awesome. It's absolutely free to download. It's crystal clear. You got rewind functions. You can catch up live. I love this app. You can download it too. That's where you can find the show. Also, Sirius XM channel 158. The question, will J.J. McCarthy be a star? Should teams be tripping over themselves to try to trade up? Plus, we got a crazy draft rumor for you. This one even, Perloff, when you do our draft rumor of the day, I don't even know if this one got on your radar. It's out there.
Nice.
We'll get that to you next. Don't move. Maggie and Perloff.
Welcome back to Maggie and Perloff Show. So first segment, we had a debate. How high will J.J. McCarthy go? I got good news for you, Maggie, because you think he is probably not worth a top five pick based on what you've seen. Josh Norris is a writer. He's with Underdog Fantasy.
Yeah.
He's just fire on mock drafts. And he had the best mock draft, I think, ever 2 years ago. He said, I guarantee this is going to be consensus and has J.J. not in the top five. Like, he's a, like, move the odds kind of guy. Then he'll fall. So, but there's so many other reporters who still have him up there. It's one of the most confusing picks ever because, not just because we don't know what teams are going to do, but he's one of the hardest prospects ever. We saw him for 3 years. There was nothing on the field that said this is a top five pick because they didn't let him throw the ball. So we all have common sense. Well, if the Michigan doesn't let him throw the ball, why would an NFL team? But I still think the NFL sees something different and wants something different than most of us.
I mean, think about a guy who does have this much game tape and yet his evaluation is incomplete.
Totally incomplete, right? I mean, that's the thing. You come from whatever system you come from. It's the same with, look back at Patrick Mahomes. He was in the air raid for years. The NFL didn't want to touch air raid quarterbacks because they thought whatever you're doing in college is so different than the NFL. McCarthy's sort of the opposite. What's the opposite of an air raid? Ground and pound.
He was the
ground and pound quarterback. What do you do with a ground and pound quarterback? The thing that he did the most of was take three steps back and hand the ball off. We have a lot of tape of that. So he's a very, very confusing prospect. I still say he goes top five, and I think he's going to be good if he goes to the right team. Now, if he goes to the Giants, who are six, and there's possibility they trade up to get him, that's tough. That's a tough place to go.
Well, not like the Giants have any great receivers, so.
That's what I mean. No, I mean, I think he would bomb out there, but I think he'd be really good in Minnesota or Denver.
Yeah, well, listen, Minnesota, if you can't be good in Minnesota with that star power, with Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, and TJ Hockenson, like, you're not going to be good.
That's the spot. You just nailed it, right? If you can't be good there, then you're not going to be good.
Now, the question we're putting out on social media for you at Maggie and Pearl, you can also call us at 855-212-4227, is J.J. McCarthy going to be a star in the NFL? Brian is in Harrisburg, has a thought for us. Good morning, Brian. What's up?
Hey, Maggie, I just don't see NFL teams trading their draft capital for a guy that literally only had like 18 passing attempts in a national championship game. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah,
what is he going to do, hand the ball off in the NFL to who, to like Braylon Allen? I don't see it.
You know, Brian, I don't see it either, and appreciate the phone call. I don't think he's going to be a star in the NFL. But I
disagree though, because I think the teams don't care. If you only had 18 attempts, There's no they what like what they can't see. No, that's what teams do. It's worse in the NBA. The NBA, if you're 17 years old, they're like, "Ooh, I want this guy."
No, we're like 5 minutes away what from drafting fetuses into
the
NBA.
I know, but I think that I kind of disagree with the very premise of the fact that they didn't let him throw in the national title game. I don't think NFL teams are saying that's. I don't think they care as much negatively as the caller did, because I think they say, well, If he is going to throw it 40 times, we'd see a productive quarterback. He could be Michael Penix or Bo Nix if he was in that system.
Right. I think also what they would say is in the championship game, when he did have to throw the ball, when he was backed up on some third and longs, he was able to deliver. You know, he played very well in that game.
Kind of.
Well, he actually played better against Alabama on some really,
I don't think he did anything.
On some really exciting plays in the Alabama game more than the Washington game.
I don't remember any big third down. Yeah, I mean, he was
Alabama
fine.
Game, that final
the Alabama
drive,
game,
yeah.
He was really good. I don't remember much in the national title game. I mean, the game that really kills him is the Penn State game that he didn't throw the ball once in the second half. Like, that is rare for a first-round pick to not throw a ball an entire half.
So you can go to at Maggie and Pearl and vote, or you can call us at 855-212-4227. Will J.J. McCarthy be a star? Now, I think part of the J.J. McCarthy machine, some of this, I think, is Jim Harbaugh, who is now back in the NFL, who also holds a high pick in this draft, but the Chargers are picking 5. And I think that Harbaugh is really, you know, to borrow a wrestling term, I think he's putting his guy over. I think it's easy for him to do. I think he wants to put J.J. McCarthy over, and he wants to sing his praises. He called him the best quarterback that Michigan's ever had. You know, I think he's telling everybody who wants to know that J.J. McCarthy is going to blossom in the NFL to be this amazing quarterback. Now, what's interesting about the Chargers, and this brings us to our insane draft rumor of the day, there was a story that sort of broke Perloff, and really the draft rumors are more your area of expertise here.
Draft rumors.
Listen, you're big on the draft rumors.
Meaning that they may or may not be real. That's my area of expertise. Yeah,
this
I love it.
You revel in this. So right now there is a rumor out there that was started by, of all people, Antonio Brown. Well, we think it was started by Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown, yes, that Antonio Brown, had a social media post over the weekend, and he said he put a screen grab of a text message that he was having with what he calls his Minnesota source. He said, following up on my last text, this is a guy sending a text to Antonio Brown. AB, following up on my last text, my source in Minneapolis is saying there's some trouble with Justin Herbert's physical based around his open reduction surgery on his right index finger. My source says there's still some questions about his readiness for OTAs. If this gets confirmed as resolved, the projected trade package includes both of Minnesota's first-round picks this year, Christian Darrisaw, the offensive lineman, and also a conditional second-round pick in 2025. Yes, this is a rumor out there now that the Chargers might be interested in trading Justin Herbert to the Minnesota Vikings for a haul of draft picks and a left tackle, so that the Chargers could draft J.J. McCarthy. Now, we would normally not pay attention to anything like this.
Right.
However, now the sports books are starting to move on this, Perloff. According to at least one, which is ESPN Bet, which we have, McCarthy is now an 8-1 odds to the Chargers, and the Chargers' first pick of a quarterback is now 6-1.
Mm.
What do you make of this?
I think that's ridiculous. But I think there's no chance this happens.
This sounds like the most insane pre-draft rumor we've maybe ever heard.
I think they would have to institutionalize Jim Harbaugh if he traded away Justin Herbert.
Agree.
On the spot. Just say, like, get in that minivan you're staying at near practice and just drive to the loony bin.
Get that RV revved up and just drive it right into the ocean, because this would be insane.
Well, when you were going into the Antonio Brown thing, like, immediately my mind's like, what are we doing here?
I'm just trying to explain to the audience where this came from.
I hear you. Like, what are we all doing here? Like, this is our report. This is how, would be the craziest draft move in the history of the NFL draft. I don't know what year the draft started, 1936. This would be blow anything away, and it'd be so crazy that it would be the craziest move of all time. If you traded Justin Herbert in today's NFL to draft J.J. McCarthy, then I can't. My head would probably explode on Thursday night.
So what about if his finger is really an issue? I mean, I can't even really take this seriously. If the finger is an issue, then why would Minnesota be trading for someone who's got a damaged finger that could impact how he plays.
Because it's all made up.
Yes, right. Okay.
I mean, there's not a lot of precedence, but I do think of a few examples. Obviously, there's the Josh Rosen, Kyler Murray situation. That's different because obviously Josh Rosen didn't show to be.
Wait. What's the analogy with Josh Rosen and Kyler Murray and Justin Herbert and J.J. McCarthy?
That a college coach came to a place and said, I want my guy.
Right.
And so there's that. And then the other example that's probably a little more akin but it involves veterans is Josh McDaniels going to Denver and having the whole tiff with Jay Cutler, where he kind of wants Kyle Orton, and they kind of mess around. Jay Cutler's like, oh, you're calling another quarterback? Get me out of here. And then he got his guy in. So coaches are weird. We just talked about Kevin O'Connell talking about he's very picky about his quarterback. Now, apparently Harbaugh loves Justin Herbert. He talked about it a bunch. But
isn't that the reason why he wanted the job?
That's what they say. But also, like, if the Chargers really are far away, which it looks like they are, I mean, they lost all of their receivers. How far away are they really are from winning? Maybe he thinks
already paid Herbert, so like
he didn't pay him the
previous, but like but again but he is paid, so like he's sort of locked up here. Like now, I think
it's going to make it more difficult really to build around Justin Herbert. Now, would I do this? No, I was talking to my brother over the weekend. If someone did this and I was a Charger fan,
brother used to work for the Vikings, by the way, so that's what you're talking about.
Yeah, but someone did this and I was a Charger fan, I would leave the team. And I always say, you never leave your team. I would leave being a Charger fan if they traded Justin Herbert.
Well, also, you would never be able to trust Jim Harbaugh ever again. Because that would be putting your college allegiances in front of what is actually sitting in front of you, which is Justin Herbert. Again, this is a rumor that's out there. The markets have moved, though, off of the rumor.
Well, the markets are kind of, they're funny. The draft, they're is kind of meaningless, everyone says. They don't actually pretend anything, but the one thing that's interesting to me is that there are no Chargers fans to leave, so that is one team that there's not a. Have you ever met a Chargers fan?
And I do know one
from San Diego or LA.
No, from New York. Just love the Powder Blues, like in the 1970s, but that has been with them ever since.
The entire city of San Diego turned off it, and LA doesn't embrace anyone except the Dodgers and the Lakers. So there's no Chargers fan base to make mad. But this is not. I don't know what I'm guaranteeing Patrick Ewing style. This is not happening. There is no NFL team that is trading Justin Herbert for the rights to draft J.J. McCarthy. That is never happening. The fact that you brought up Josh Rosen tells you Josh Rosen, I'm as talented as Josh Rosen is now. That Justin Herbert, this is Justin Herbert. He's probably the second or third most valuable quarterback in the entire NFL.
We have to reimagine that whole Arizona thing, because if Rosen actually is good, then I don't think that. Who was it? David Caldwell? Who was their coach? It was, what's his face?
Well, Cliff Kingsbury.
Before that. The guy who got really screwed.
Steve Wilkes.
Right. He's still there. You know, if Rosen is good, that means the whole franchise hit on everything and they're throwing themselves a parade. Mike is in Tucson, speaking of Arizona.
Hi, how you doing?
The question is, do you think J.J. McCarthy will be a star in the NFL?
I think he could be a top 15 quarterback. I don't believe that Minnesota will take him. I'm rooting for Michael Penix to get drafted by Minnesota.
And you're a Vikings fan. Yeah.
Well, the reason I am is because I'm a big Arizona Wildcat fan. I live in Tucson, and I go to all the games in, you know, both home and away. And I've seen Michael Penix up twice. That guy can – if Minnesota has some big-time downfield receivers, and he can get the ball to them.
He's perfect. Well, by the way, I think the same thing with Penix and the Raiders. Get him in an indoor stadium where he can throw long to receivers. Oh, my God. I totally agree, Mike.
Mike, great call. Appreciate it. Thanks for checking in. Bob is in Cleveland, has a thought on this. Bob, will J.J. McCarthy be a star?
Well, you know, like you guys talked the other day, telling if a quarterback's going to be a star is like a it's a potluck. I mean, you don't know who's going to develop him, what fit he's going to have, where he's going to go. But he could be, but I don't think he's draftable that high. I mean, Harbaugh had the chance to drive this car in Ann Arbor, and he would only back him out onto the driveway. I mean, Harbaugh knows quarterbacks. You think he would have used him if he's seen something in him, and knowing that he wanted a national championship, maybe his stakes after college was more important, maybe to name his price when he went to the NFL. He wanted that championship by any means, and I don't know. I mean, they did get it, granted. But I think if he's seen something in him, he would have used him. I know it's been talked about. But come on, Harbaugh knows quarterbacks.
Well,
he
and Bob,
used him if he's seen it.
It's a great point, and thank you for making it, because we did see Harbaugh when he had a talent like Colin Kaepernick when he was in the NFL. Kaepernick was,
he didn't throw that much, though.
But he was a talent that obviously Harbaugh was like, listen, his bread is buttered with using his legs and using his arms. And of course, they did have a good run game. They got to the Super Bowl, but he used all the tools that Colin Kaepernick had.
Did he?
Yes.
I don't know. I felt like that was still a run. It was still quite a conservative. They were a pounding team.
Well, they had Frank Gore and a great offensive
line.
Yeah,
I don't feel like he wants a wide open attack under any circumstances. I'm sure they were in the bottom 10 in pass attempts that year.
But think about it. When it was like money on the line, Super Bowl, he put the ball in Colin Kaepernick's hands.
Yeah, but I just think like that again, like that was a Jim Harbaugh offense. He does not want, I don't think Kaepernick had anywhere near 4,000 yards in his career. Like they want to be one of the bottom 10 passing teams in the league. They want to run. Even Andrew Luck, I think his numbers were really neutered with Harbaugh. He does not want to throw the ball. He just doesn't. And that's why they're so interesting. Why would they draft a receiver if I have or a quarterback? You know, we're talking about them trading for a quarterback. Like they want big offensive linemen and running backs just like Michigan. So I think that's what, to answer that call, I think people view Harbaugh as sort of an interesting guy. Like he's unique. So the fact that Harbaugh didn't want to use him, I don't think that scares away the NFL. Do you think, like, has Harbaugh ever thrown the ball a lot in any situation?
No, but if you can't throw the ball, you can't win in this league.
He can. He didn't throw the ball in San Francisco,
and
he got the Super
Bowl. If you have Justin Herbert and you're not throwing the ball, that's ludicrous. He's got probably the biggest arm in the NFL. Him and Josh? I mean,
yeah, it's really, well, maybe that makes he will trade. I don't think he wants to throw the ball. I think he wants to control it. I mean, this dude, look at what he did at Michigan in today's NFL football game. In college, everyone throws it everywhere in college football. And then he comes along. He's like, I'm good. I'm just going to run it every single play.
No, he did that because he basically had the 85 Bears defense of college defenses.
I don't think so. I think he designed it that way. I think he would rather do it that way.
855-212-4227. So you got two things there for you. Should the Chargers be trading for should they be drafting a quarterback? And should a Justin Herbert trade be on the table? I don't even know why I'm even saying that. Coming out of my mouth, that sounded ridiculous. But you are welcome to weigh in. Also, our poll question day, do you think J.J. McCarthy will be a star in the NFL? Andrew Bogish is joining us from headquarters, somewhere parts unknown. Good morning, Bogish. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Your headlines are sponsored by Progressive. Looking for a career path with flexibility and great pay and benefits? Go to progressive.com/careers. And apply online today. It was so nice of the road teams to finally check in the NBA playoffs. The home clubs unbeaten through the first 3 days of the postseason. But then Luka scored 32 to lead the Mavs to a 96-93 win over the Clippers in LA. And Pascal Siakam outdueled Damian Lillard in Game 2 in Milwaukee.
Right edge, Nesmith into the lane. Siakam turns and delivers one more time. Milwaukee takes a timeout. The Pacers have their largest lead of the night. 9:17 left in the fourth. 100-88 Indiana.
That's Mark Boyle on Pacers radio. Indy cruising to a 125-108 series tying win. Siakam finished with 37 points and 11 boards, making him the first player since Wilt in 1967 to open the postseason with back-to-back 35-10 games, not to mention the experience the former champ brings to Rick Carlisle's club.
He's constantly saying, you know, keep your edge. I mean, he's been through these things too many times.
The Pacers got Siakam before this year's trade deadline. Only the T-Wolves won at home last night, 105-93, for a 2-0 lead on the Suns. Rudy Gobert, 18 points, 9 rebounds, 1 block, 2 assists, 3 steals. Numbers not befitting the NBA's most overrated player, but that's what Gobert was named in a recent anonymous player poll at The Athletic. He's also likely to win his 4th Defensive Player of the Year award. That doesn't help either, but at least he's got the support of his longtime girlfriend, Julia Bonilla, which is better than Perloff's support. Julia went on social media on Monday and wrote, quote, "My partner is the most dedicated, focused, hardworking person I have ever met. He hasn't stolen anything from anyone and deserves all the respect for his determination and commitment to his career.
Man, I get the urge and the instinct for family members to try to defend, or significant others to try to defend their athletes and stuff on social media. It just never ends well. Whether it's like CeeDee Lamb's mom on Facebook calling out Dak Prescott, or whether it's something that's just as simple as this, just sort of defending, like, he didn't steal anything. It's like, you don't even want to wade into these waters, you know? Don't put yourself in the fray and the crosshairs. Like, I get it. I've had people in my family who've wanted to, like, clap back at, you know, people who criticize. I remember the first time I ever got criticized online, someone said my voice sounded like Fran Drescher from The Nanny. And I swear, my Uncle Wayne was going to hunt down this person and was going to kick their butt. I said, listen, this is what happens when you put yourself in front of the public eye.
Did Uncle Wayne tweet out, well, Maggie hasn't stolen anything? That's like kind of a low bar. Like, well, you know what? He's not a felon.
Wait, I thought you meant award. Yeah. I did steal the award from Wemby.
Yeah, I just
not like did he steal like Shohei Ohtani's, you know, bank account? No,
I mean, obviously, his claim to fame is touching all those mics the eve of COVID. Like that, right. He first of all never come back from that. That was one of the worst moves an athlete's ever done. But I don't think like nobody's saying he's a bad guy. They're just saying, well, what are they saying about Rudy? They're just saying he's overrated because everyone knows he's winning Defensive Player of the Year and he's a massive defensive liability in the playoffs because. This round, it's not happening because Phoenix Suns have never practiced basketball together. They don't even know their name. Like, they're the most disorganized, worst run team I've ever seen. But wait till somebody gets Rudy Gobert up high on the pick and roll; they're going to kill him. So it's just weird. He's overrated, right?
I will say though, if there's, Suns don't practice basketball, but why can't they exploit him? I mean, I'm watching the game last night
because it's 1-on-1. There's no picks. There's no pick and roll. There's no offense.
They're setting screens. They don't know what the hell they're doing. Like, I mean, he looks really good in this series. He's making a difference.
Yeah, but is he look good or the Suns look bad? But regardless,
a little bit of both, I think. He dominated the game last night, no question.
Dominated what game? Bradley Beal was dribbling around looking for someone. But the Suns are a disaster. I have a friend who tweeted out something funny. He goes, they're like a bunch of guys a lifetime who got together for a pickup game and has no idea what the other's strengths are. I just think this
is probably not that far off. They have bad body language, too. I mean, they just do not look cohesive.
I like what you said, Maggie, though. You really don't want your girlfriend to come out and defend you, but this is the day to do it. Up 2-0 at home. Like, I think like Rudy's having a moment now, so you can jump in.
She did it before the game.
Right. But I'd like to see, is it different if you come out after they lose the series to the Nuggets, then defend them, then it sounds bad. But I think when you're up 2-0, you can stand up for your man.
That's the only time when you're in command of the series.
You got to be smart. If you're going to support a family member, make sure they're doing well. You don't want to come down in a down moment because then you sound ridiculous. Sound defensive.
Yeah.
But I knew, by the way, that EJ was into the T-Wolves. He's been trying to sell this team to me all year long.
And you were trying to buy the Suns, and look how it turned out.
I dumped that stock in February.
What else we got, Bogart?
We've got hockey playoffs. The Predators got a split in Vancouver 4-1, and the Avalanche got a split in Winnipeg 5-2. The Panthers, though, have a 2-0 lead on the Lightning after a 3-2 OT win, and the Rangers held off the Caps 4-3 for their own 2-0 lead. The Anaheim Angels had lost 5 straight, so they put Mike Trout in the leadoff spot for the first time in 4 years.
Here's Trout lifting a ball high and deep out into right center field, and that ball is Trout of here! He just hit it out!
Out of here to right center field, Terry Smith, Angels Radio, Trout's first leadoff homer since 2012, and Anaheim does snap that 5-game skid 7-4 over the Orioles.
Maggie, why aren't you ripping that guy for a dad joke? That's a dad joke, right, Bogus? Trout of here?
I've already voiced my lack of support for Trout here.
That's been around. Sorry, I didn't know that.
I've already said I think we can do better.
Hashtag dad joke. I love it. Trout here, awesome.
Andrew McCutchen led off the bottom of the first with a homer for the second straight day. His Pirates beat the Brewers 2-1, and that reported Caitlin Clark deal with Nike is apparently worth $28 million over 8 years. Guys, back to you.
Not bad. Bogish, thank you so much for that update. We see you guys on the phones. You want to talk about this big trade rumor, and that would be the Chargers potentially trading with the Minnesota Vikings with quarterbacks on the table. Also, we're asking you our poll question today. Do you think J.J. McCarthy is going to be a star in the NFL? a lot of noise around teams just tripping over themselves to trade up for J.J. McCarthy as we're a day out from the first round of the NFL draft. Don't move. It's Maggie and Perloff.
Welcome back.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Maggie and Perloff, we are getting 1 day away from the draft. Rumors flying around. To recap earlier in the show, we're getting into this. I can't believe I'm going to say this.
Yeah, say it.
Antonio Brown tweeted that there might be reasons that the Vikings and Chargers could trade Justin Herbert for the rights to draft J.J. McCarthy. It's still, it doesn't, you said yeah. It doesn't sound weird coming out of your mouth. I'm telling you, that would be the craziest draft day trade of all time. And there wouldn't even, in any sport, ever. I can't try to think of another draft. Well, it's a famous draft day trade. Nothing would come close to that because Justin Herbert is the dream.
Yeah.
He's a young quarterback with all the skill in the world. No coach would trade him for anybody, let alone 6'2", 205-pound J.J. McCarthy.
Well, I guess it would be like the Herschel Walker trade of its day, because when Herschel Walker was traded, running backs were quarterbacks then in terms of who the stars of the teams were, how much of the load they carried, you know, who you thought you needed to be the focal point of your offense. So I guess it'd be like a, I don't say modern day Herschel Walker, but it'd be an updated Herschel Walker.
It's a good analogy. It's still like you look back on it, you're like, Justin Herbert's 50 times more valuable than Herschel Walker was. And when they, you know, did the Herschel Walker trade, Herschel had one 1,000-yard season. He wasn't dominant. I think Justin Herbert's dominant.
And I'm with you.
Yeah, I wish so. The odds that moved up to 6-1 that the Chargers would take a quarterback with their first pick, I wish I could short that, because this cannot happen. And it gets back to what you were saying. J.J. McCarthy, his upside is not Justin Herbert. His upside is Kirk Cousins.
Right. So we're asking you on social media today, you can find us at Maggie and Pearl on Twitter, is J.J. McCarthy going to be a star in the NFL? Yeah. Do you think he's going to be a star? And listen, we know two things, right? Or we believe two things. We believe that Arizona is definitely open for business. They GM came out and said it. I think the Chargers would probably be open too, if, unless this crazy quarterback thing happens. But if they're just a normal team picking under normal circumstances, if somebody really wants to trade with them for 5, I think they would trade out of that pick.
Oh, they're 1,000% interested in trade. Everyone knows the Chargers want out of that spot.
Right, and I think that's also, let's be honest, maybe that's part of it. Maybe there's some J.J. McCarthy hype machine is coming from the Chargers because they want to try to get a market for him because they might want to trade out of the pick.
Absolutely. Now, the thing is, if you're Denver, say you want J.J. McCarthy, can you trade to 5 knowing that somebody could jump you and get to 4 and then you're stuck at 5 drafting a wide receiver? So to me, one of the most interesting things about this draft is there's all these potential trades for the 4 and 5 pick. Like, do you have the guts, if you're a GM, to wait till draft night to make that trade? I could not do it. Like, what if you call Monty Austin for it, the Cardinals GM, and the line is busy and you want to make this trade? Something happens. It's so risky to do that trade for your franchise quarterback that night. You got to make a trade now, and nobody's doing it.
I get it, but Adam Schefter had his sort of news and notes column yesterday or two days ago about what he's hearing before the draft. And the first nugget out of that column was, the Cardinals are not making a trade until draft night. They want all last and finals. They want to see how robust this quarterback market really is. And they're open for business, but not until they're on the clock.
There's a video from last year's draft of Monty Austinfort, who famously traded out of three and traded back up to get a tackle, just working phones like a madman. I think Monty Austinfort is feeling himself, has a little hubris about his ability to make draft night trades because people like he's a madman on those cell phones. Would you be worried, Maggie? Like, you've been, what if you went to a part of the building that had bad service and you missed a call from the Raiders?
That doesn't happen.
I just think there's so much stress to put on yourself as a GM to make this trade. If the Vikings really want J.J. McCarthy, I would do it now, but that's just me. Like, I think that teams are really playing with fire to wait till the last minute.
I love how we think about these NFL draft war rooms, right? And how much pressure is, you know, packed into these moments and how intense these things are. And Perloff thinks it's like around here where like the printer might not work or like you have a dead spot in the building and all of a sudden you don't get a franchise quarterback. I don't think it works that way.
Are you sure? You don't think there's ever been a technological problem that has screwed up a draft pick?
Well, I didn't one year someone didn't get it in on time.
Well, there was a lot of people who used to have to fax in deals, and that would get screwed up all the time. Remember Elvis Dumervil got stuck with
that was
the wrong
agency,
team?
I think.
Used to have to fax in official deals. You're telling me there's never been a missed call, like an unknown number came in, like a guy had. It's definitely happened, Maggie. You think these NFL war rooms are run scientifically? I see Jerry in Dallas. It feels like a vague party going on there that they may or may not be focusing on the draft.
Well, I mean, if Mel Kiper's got four landlines that we learned yesterday, I mean, you can do. I think they're going to be okay. I can't imagine they go through the normal things because why have you been prepping and planning and going through scenarios just for a cell phone call to drop?
But it is a risky game. I mean, they're calling it pocket deals. You have a deal in the pocket. But then again, you definitely put more pressure on yourself to get the best deal. You know what I mean? Like, it's definitely the Cardinals are in a tougher spot doing a draft night because then they're like, I don't know. Is another deal coming in? There's 2 minutes left on the clock. What do we do, Maggie? What do we do? There's 2 minutes. I'm panicking.
I'm now so glad that Perloff is not in a front office.
Oh, you should see me on the night of a fantasy draft. I'm a ball of nerves.
You'd never make it, man. 855-212-4227. Will J.J. McCarthy be a star? We check in with the Cowboys next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.